doubt about it. No doubt about it. Good morning. Hopefully everybody can hear me today. That was a good morning meeting. What Terry said, what Danny said, what David said, exalting our Savior Jesus Christ. It's always great to be here to give messages out. You get inspired, you learn something, and today's message is a little gloomy, but for the unbeliever, it's gloomy. But when you look stuff up, you learn stuff new, and I got some good quotes from other people, kind of funny. So you try to make messages, you know, good and inspiring. My message today is about from dust to dust. We are all dust, and we will return to the dust. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, that is going to happen. So we look at, and part of it's going to be in the book of James that we're studying in our Bible study right now. It says, are we all dust in the wind? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I close my eyes only for a moment and the moment's gone. Can we think about that just for a second? I'm outlining a song title and some lyrics, which I'm going to get to at the end of this. But if you think about it, I close my eyes only for a moment, and now the moment's gone. As an example, we all met for my birthday last Wednesday, and that was a great time. And I thank Alana and Dan and organizing all that stuff and having all the Christian brothers and sisters there to enjoy it. But, you know, the moment's gone, you know. The morning meeting is gone. Yesterday is gone. The moments are gone. We're going to move on to the next set of lyrics here. It says, all my dreams passed before my eyes, a curiosity. What it's saying here is all your dreams are just a curiosity. Dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. Here we go. Here's another saying. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. Can you think about that for a minute? We are a drop of water in an endless sea. You know how many billions of people are on this planet? Billions of people are on this planet. A drop of water is what we are in an endless sea. Look at all the seas of the world. Can you imagine the gallons? Probably innumerable, David. You can't number the gallons of water that make up all the seas of the world. All we do crumbles to the ground. Though we refuse to see dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. Look at them lyrics. Though we refuse to see. I like this one here. Now don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and the sky. Let's think about that for a second. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and the sky. It's so true. Everything on this planet eventually dies. It slips away, and I like this part right here. It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Is that something else? I just read in the paper the other day that Jeff Bezos, our friend over at Amazon, not saying anything bad about him, is now worth $90 billion. Now you take that $90 billion and you take Warren Buffett's billions and you take Bill Gates' billions and you take Steve Jobs' billions and you take Donald Trump's billions, will not buy you one more minute on this planet. Do you know? Do we understand that? Not one more minute. Well said. Well said. The group that recorded that song was a group called Kansas. And has anybody ever heard of that band, Kansas? Yeah, Danny, you know of Kansas, don't you? Right? You know what's so funny about that song and the band? It's kind of appropriate. They're singing about dust and the wind. If anybody knows about dust and wind, it'd be the state of Kansas. So it's kind of unreal how it kind of coincided. It's definitely a gloomy song, but they hit the nail on the head with the main theme. We close our eyes for a moment, and the moment's gone. And life is made up of moments down here. One just passed, there goes another. Vapor in the book of James says that it appears for a little while and then it just vanishes away. The book of James is not the only scripture that is given to us that talks about this truth. We read in Psalm 144 says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow down here. And in Psalm 39, it says, behold, thou hast made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in thy sight. Can we grasp that? Think about that. Our lifetime is nothing in God's sight. Surely every man at his best is just a breath. That's all it is. I came across this funny saying here from a guy named Richard Needham, wrote this funny quote on life, the wit and wisdom of Richard Needham. Now listen to this. He says about life that we all go through, it's called the seven ills, I-L-L-S of life, the seven ills of life, okay, we all go through, or the seven ages of man. Here they are: spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. I think that's just beautiful. I think that's really funny. Well, that summarizes things in a humorous way, but isn't it amazing that without Jesus Christ, who should be those are the ones that should be most concerned down here, that do not know our Lord, about the brevity of this life. Brevity is another word for a short time. Short time. Brevity. They go through life as though they are in control and as though death will never become a reality to them. Now it's going to get very interesting. They're not concerned. They're not thinking about death and meeting our Lord. On one hand, they struggle and strive to accumulate material things and wealth, thinking these things will fulfill them and keep them forever satisfied. Yet at the same time, this is a funny saying, they scramble like chickens when the fox is in the yard to find ways to fend off their inevitable death. Isn't that kind of funny? I mean, they're putting death completely off to the very last angle. You know, they live in a paradox life of contradiction. You know, they try to, in ways of putting it off, they exercise, they obsess about their diet, or they search for the newest cure or remedies, yet they're marching the same route as everyone else towards the grave. In another terms, as me and Dan heard this funny saying, is riding the brake to the grave. Exactly what they're doing. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. Eternity is around the corner for everyone. Do you know Jesus Christ? You're going to spend more time dead than you are alive. Did you know that? You're going to spend more time in eternity than you are dead. Some people would say that eternity is way, way, way out there. That's way out there. Eternity is a wrong time, wrong place, going through an intersection for some people. Did you know that? A wrong turn. A wrong decision. And you're there. You're there instantly. This is what James is warning against now. It says, come now. Or in other words, let's reason together. You who say today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. A year? You're going to spend a year? You know how long a year is? 360 days? You're putting your own belief that you're going to make it through that year? You don't know it even about tomorrow. How many men in history have said, well, tomorrow I will do such and such, and in the morning that you found them dead in their bed and on their way to a morgue? Or as Jerry Fitzgerald, Dan, if I could use our patriarch of the Curtis Gospel family, would say that you wake up in the morning and you tie your shoes, but by the end of the day, the corner might be untying your shoes. True, Terry? Here's another funny saying. She's talking about the Titanic. Now, we all know about the Titanic, right? The ship that went down with the ship, that thing. Irma Bombeck said this quote. It's kind of funny. And she's talking about seizing the opportunity about the people on that Titanic. She once said to seize the moment, remember all those women who waved off the dessert cart. It's kind of funny. What she's basically saying is you should have taken the dessert. You never know when you're going to go down with the ship. And they waved it off, thinking they weren't going to go down with the ship, but they did go down with the ship. But that's funny, and we laugh about that. But remember that the people on the Titanic had bought into the claim that this was a ship that can't be sunk. Right? Now, I come across this quote, and this is amazing. The builder of the Titanic said this, not even God himself could sink this ship. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your... And you know what? Studying this, what I just read, this guy reached even deeper. This fool even reached deeper with this quote. Can anybody tell me the key word where he really reached even deeper to insult the Almighty God? It says, not even God himself could sink the ship. There's a key word here that I just read. Can anybody tell me the word? Who said that? Who said himself? You're right. Right there. Right. Thank you. Very good. He says, not even... Okay, if you're going to be a fool, just say God. Just say God. Don't say God himself. You're even bringing more attention to Almighty God. And wouldn't it come to know that the ship went down with maybe a chunk of ice about the size of a football? In Galatians 6:7 reads, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows shall he also reap. Another way of reading this would be, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. God is not mocked. And if anybody wants to go look up on the internet, untimely deaths, be my guest. That people have chosen to mock God and had their lives cut short by the most unbelievable things that you could ever imagine of. My sister happened to forward that to me years ago. It's called Untimely Deaths. And it says people who have mocked God in their life that are dead and gone. What a great example of the lives of those lost and without Christ in the world. Their confidence is in money and finances and science, not Jesus Christ, because all those things betray them, right? eventually never considering that the very thing that they are putting their confidence in may never get them to their destination. When people put their faith and their trust in their wealth and their own decisions and their life, I mean, it's never, ever going to get them to the where they think they want to go. They eat, drink, and are merry, never bothering to ask those things, will they take care of me? Will they take care of me? Will my money and my retirement, will it take care of me? I mean, when I work, you know, I see people are retired, and that's a blessing. You know, they're retired, they're enjoying life, but there's a lot of miserable people that are out there with their money and they're retired. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. And they're just existing. Will my money and all that, will they be my best friend when I have nothing to give in return? Will they lift me up when I can't stand on my own? In my final moments of life, will they go with me to the other side? What good will they be to me then? Will they, upon death, will they be greeted either by angels to carry us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or will they be there, will Jesus be there in their lives and their final breath? Are they still relying on their wealth and their finances? The view of the flesh is demonstrated very clearly. Every year people die with no will. Why do they die with no will? Because they never stopped to consider that their days were numbered. It's just not a thought. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, I don't have a family, but I'm just as guilty of that, but people with families at least should have that going, and a lot don't, because they don't think it's going to happen to them. Psalm 90, what a beautiful psalm. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm that Moses wrote. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, we want to ask God for wisdom. That's all that counts down here is wisdom, knowledge. When you got that, you're the wealthiest man on the planet. We are the wealthiest people on the planet because we're in church right now. Anybody who's a Christian is a brilliant person that knows the truth. And we live by these words. The view of the Spirit, after James berated this foolish boasting, he now gets to the heart of the matter. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live or do this or that. Or, Lord willing, we will go here and there. I always try to use that that saying, but it's just so true. I mean, Lord willing, we'll do this or that. What Christian can't hear these words? Now, this is beautiful. And think of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, who in his final hours, when he needed the greatest wisdom and strength for what he was about to do, prayed, not my will, but thy will. We were reading in the morning meeting, I think David said it, one of you guys said it, about Jesus thinking about, Danny said it, about us. He's focused on us. He came down here for us, not his will, but the Father's will, that he be down here to pay for our sins. That's a beautiful way of saying that. Not my will, but thy will. That's where the division comes. It begins with Lucifer saying, I will. As we read in Isaiah, the five I wills, those are dangerous words, man. Those are dangerous words to say, especially to Almighty God. I will. Pride. I have pride in my heart. And listen to this. And ever since man surrendered to him in the Garden of Eden, Satan, he has mindlessly repeated that saying to his own destruction. Man says, "My will, Lord, not your will." And that's where they fall. It says, "Tomorrow I will go and I will do for myself, I will, instead of thy will be done. Or if it be, you should be saying, or if it be your will, Lord." Mankind was lost in a garden. But the beauty, and in a garden he was also found. Can anybody tell me what the two gardens are? I'm just wanting to see if anybody's paying attention. There's two. What gardens are they? Can anybody? Yep. Very good. Very good. Very good, Dan. Yep. We can. The Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. Bottom line is, in a garden, the first Adam said, "I will." But in the Garden of Gethsemane, the last Adam, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, said, "Thy will." And by doing so, won us back. Thank God. Thank God. Our earthly existence is constantly in God's hands. He holds our very breath. You know, you see people every now and then just dying for no reason, you know, heart attack or a seizure. And the older you get, the more you could look at that reality. As morbid as it may be, it's reality. Look what we're going to read now in the book of Job. Job 12, 7 through 10. Look at this. This is unbelievable. "But now asks the beasts, and let them teach you, and the birds of heaven, and let them tell you, or speak to the earth, and let it teach you. And let the fish of the sea declare to you, who among all these things does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what we are teaching or reading here is God has created the fishes of the sea, the animals, the birds in heaven, and the breath of every living thing down here. Life in the spirit begins with the recognition that all life is from God. That, exactly it. So when we see atheists and scientists and Richard Dawkins, I believe his name is, and saying that they've got another way of looking at where there is existence that just came by a bomb or just, it's really the Big Bang Theory, I think it's called. I mean, it's just utterly ridiculous. There's only things that the Lord will reveal to us, and we won't know the entire story till we get into eternity and be in heaven with him. And it's not us for us to know anyway. As long as we go under the assumption that the day is ours, we've made our plans, set our goals according to our own free will, we play the part of the fool. And we will never accomplish anything of eternal value down here. James says, "First seek his will, and if it is that you shall live, then seek what you're going to do with your life today and for the rest of your life that you've been given. Remember, if the Lord wills, we'll live and also do this or that." Listen to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 6. He says, do not be anxious. I mean, we all get depressed. We all have anxiety. I have it. I've always had it real bad. But listen to what Jesus teaches us down here. Listen to his words. He said this. saying, what shall we eat or drink? Everybody's always, you know, in the world, they're always worried about what they're going to eat and drink or what they're going to wear. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly sought, for your heavenly Father knows you need all of these things to begin with. But he says, but first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Remember, each day has trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? You wake up every day, and before you walk out the door for your responsibilities or work, I mean, that day's got its own problems. Why think about tomorrow's problems? You got to deal with today's, you know, problems down here that you got to go through. And without Jesus Christ, it's impossible to get through anything. The Lord knew full well that when we are anxious about food, water, clothing, our tendencies as fallen flesh is to get our eyes off of God. When you take your eyes off of God and you look at yourself, and then you're swimming in water without a life preserver, is what is going on with that process. And we look to the future and we make our plans and jump at opportunities and struggle for the upper hand in life, and we don't let our guards down, and we never relax. We never think about going without, and we'll miss our chance, or we think that we'll be walked upon or stepped over, or something will get in our way, and it's all about us. We're selfishly thinking about us and our needs. You know, Jesus wasn't telling us not to work or be irresponsible. That's not the case. Or wasn't saying be lazy and lax. And he also wasn't saying God's just going to drop food and clothing in your lap either. He was telling them about priorities. So was James, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You're seeking stuff, but you're not acknowledging God. Say, if the Lord wills, says James. The flesh says, provide for yourself. Get wealth, get clout. And then when you're safe and secure, then acknowledge God. It's backwards. What's the first commandment that God has given us, class? First, right? David? I ran into this customer. You know, he's really interesting, man. I run into some real winners out there. This one guy who was something else. All he did his whole life was work. 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Accumulated a lot of money and did things himself. Not one mention of God or nothing, just work and investments. And that's it. That's it. I mean, I said, "Are you?" I said, "You're kidding." And he goes, no, 7 days a week. I took all the overtime I can get, working 14 hours a day. I just came home, went to bed, got up. His marriage wasn't really, really good. I don't know. She could, but that you know, he just saved money, invested money, bought expensive cars, and had absolutely just no. It was just about himself, this whole conversation. I was talking with this guy for 45 minutes, and it was all about what he did his whole life. And then he started to get sick, and he had to retire or something like that. And he's heard the gospel. I think he worked at an automotive, one for the automakers or something like that. He was a tool and, not tool and die, but it was just something with that. But you know, I tried to share the gospel with him, and I know he's heard it before, but it's just amazing how many people that are in that mindset their whole lives. It is their priorities. The Spirit says, O God, our life, seek His will. Then when you do an eternal work, He will provide for your temporary needs. Guys, we got to remember something. Everything's just temporary down here. Our clothes, our cars, our houses, our, you know, everything is just temporary. And God fulfills them temporary needs. As we close this message, I came across this beautiful part of what the Bible says, and we've heard it before. It says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Eternally. Amen. What you do for the Lord down here will last forever, and what you do for yourself will pass. Now or eventually, but it'll pass. So let us keep striving to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and just know that each day is a gift that God gives to enjoy. when we work, the people, the guy I just talked about, I was praying for, you know, God gives the ability. He says there's nothing wrong with working hard and getting money and enjoying, you know, food and friendship, but He gives you the ability to enjoy that. I've read in Ecclesiastes, doing studying. Now, other people that have that empty soul, they can't properly enjoy what God has given them. There's a major difference there to enjoy what God is giving us to enjoy. He gives you the ability to enjoy that. He's saying, you know, do your thing down here, but you know, don't forget about me, and don't forget about who gave it to you. Be thankful. Like I said, the guy in the description just has never done that, and it's you know, they're restless. Their souls are restless. You know, they don't know Christ. They don't have that peace. God has put eternity in our hearts that only, you know, He's put an empty room that only He can fill. Without that, you know, the soul is lost forever. So amen that we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He has filled that emptiness in each of us, poor, rich, whatever. Only He can fill that, and He can only give the peace that passes all understanding. You can't even understand the peace that He gives us. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time. We thank You for this hour and this awesome day that You've made, Lord. We lift up this, thank You for a great morning meeting, Lord, that we can give thanks and honor to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We lift up everybody on these prayer request lists, Lord. Like Ray was saying, we're going to have to make a long list, Lord. But You know who they are. And just thank You for everybody being here today, hearing this message. Take us home in safety. Bring us back next week. Lift up that bus ministry. Lift up Bill Kelly down there, Lord, with them homeless people every day and every week, Lord. What a blessing He's been to them. Thank You for that we have the opportunity to help him out once a month. We're just blessed to be here, Lord. Thank You for keeping our doors open here, Lord. Thank You for this church You've given us. Bless each and every one of us now. In Jesus' name, amen.